go ahead.
Hello. My name is Chad Herring, and my title is the South Coast Fishery Policy Lead with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. The date is June 26, 2019, and the time is 9 a.m. We are here at the Region 6 Montesano office for a public hearing on the regulation proposals for the coastal marine saltwater salmon seasons, and that were filed in CR 102 WSR 1911-130. Please be sure that you have signed the sign-in sheet and indicate on it whether you would like to testify. We will take your testimony in the order that you signed in. We will limit each person's comment period to 3 minutes. Considerable public discussion on the proposed fishing season has occurred during meetings that are part of the North of Falcon process, and after approval from the director, the final regulations will be published on the Washington State Register. So this year, we've got a short, kind of about 20-minute presentation that kind of summarizes the whole North of Falcon process and everything that went into the rulemaking for coastal marine. So we'll go ahead and do that, and then we'll get to public comment. So, some of you may have seen this before. This is kind of our flow chart of what's called the Administrative Procedures Act. So the Administrative Procedures Act is kind of what's happening in the background and around the whole North of Falcon process. Basically what this is the legal framework for us to file rules and regulations. Okay, and it consists of four basic parts. We have a CR 101 that happens at the very beginning, and basically what that is notice to the public that, hey, we're thinking about making some rule changes. You know, you might want to pay attention to this if you care about this thing, right? And then we'll move forward into a CR 102, which is basically our proposed regulations. There's some written comment and public hearing, public comment time frame that happens after that CR 102 before you move to what's this, the CR 103, which is our final regulations and rules. Okay, and then those get published to the Washington State Register. And I'll go into this more detail in later slides. So, for the North of Falcon process, the North of Falcon process happens here, in between the 101 and the 102 filing. Okay, so we typically will file that 101, and we'll talk about specific dates for this fishery later on. But after we filed the 101 and before we file the 102, that's when North of Falcon happens. Okay. So, some of the specific aspects of the APA process that relate to our rulemakings for this year. For recreational fisheries, the CR 101, our, hey, we're going to make some rules, or thinking about making some rule changes, was filed on January 22, 2019. It was noticed in the Washington State Register as 19-03-137. The CR 102, our proposed regulations for the year, was filed on May 22nd of 2019 as WSR 19-11-130. That written comment period, certain number of days, they were due to the rules coordinator by June 24th. And then the last piece of that public comment period is the public hearings, which we're here for today. Puget Sound Marine and the freshwater hearing was June 25th. Yesterday, 9 a.m. in Olympia. Columbia River hearing was yesterday afternoon in Ridgefield at 1 p.m. And we're doing the coastal marine here right now, and coastal freshwater will be at 11 o'clock after the conclusion of this meeting. So, for commercial fisheries, Puget Sound commercial fishery, the CR 101 was filed on the 22nd. WSR number here. Puget Sound, the 102 was filed on May 22nd. WSR number here, written comments were due by June 24th to the rules coordinator, and that hearing, like we saw yesterday, what I mentioned, was yesterday in Olympia at 9 a.m. For the coastal commercial fisheries, Grace Harbor, Willapa Bay, that 101 was filed on January 4th of 2019. That's the WSR number there. And then the 102s were filed on May 16th. For Willapa, WSR 19-11-075, and for Grace Harbor, 076. So these are separate rule filings for Willow Bay Commercial and Grace Harbor Commercial. Written comments were due by June 25th, and the hearings were here yesterday, 9 and 10:45. So, another part of the Administrative Procedures Act is the Regulatory Fairness Act. And basically, the Regulatory Fairness Act gives me gives us, when we're going to make some rules and regulations that affect small business, it asks us to do a small business economic impact statement so we can assess or analyze the effects of those regulation change to the economies of those small businesses. So the recreational CR 102 provided notice that this rules package is exempt under the provisions of RCW 19.85.025 section 3 and RCW 34.05.310 section 4 item B, which covers rule clarifications that do not change effect. This was an incorrect reference for the exception, okay? So the purpose of the Small Business Economic Impact Statement is to identify and possibly mitigate regulatory compliance costs that a rule may impose on small businesses. All right. So the recreational rules package does not impose regulatory compliance costs on small businesses and is thus exempt from the SBEIS requirement pursuant to RCW 19.85.025 section 4. And SBS is not provided with respect to changes in the available harvest of fish for conservation or allocation purposes, and those factors are not viewed as the regulatory imposition of a compliance cost. So, essentially, what this says is we use two exceptions to this rule this year for the recreational CR 102. That was in error. This one should have never been referenced. It should have just been this one. So we're correcting that right now here in the public hearings. So salmon do not salmon migrate across jurisdictional boundaries. All right. So they don't pay attention to our rules. And this is where Canada starts. This is where Washington starts. So so salmon fishery planning must happen at a variety of jurisdictional levels. Okay. The Pacific Salmon Treaty guides as our management framework for international waters. It sets limits on catch and interceptions of salmon from Southeast Alaska all the way to the southern U.S. And as quotas are set for those fisheries each year, those catches must be factored in as they affect the numbers of fish returning to Washington. Okay, and we'll go into a little bit more detail about that as we move forward, specifically for 2019. So, out here, international waters, Pacific Salmon Treaty is the management, right? In the economic exclusionary zone, which runs from 3 miles to 200 miles offshore, those fisheries are managed from Washington all the way down to the California coast by the Pacific Fishery Management Council. Okay, so that's the ocean area out here. And once you get inside, states have the jurisdiction to manage their, or the authority to manage their fisheries as long as they're consistent with federal court orders. In our case, specifically U.S. v. Washington and U.S. v. Oregon. Okay, so have to go across all these frameworks and work within all these different management entities in order to get a final fisheries package for the year. And so can be quite complicated.
Can we ask questions as you go along?
No, I'm sorry, you can't. For the salmon, North of Falcon process. So the North of Falcon process is essentially, it's a year-round process that's really highlighted 7 weeks out of the year. It happens across all five species and incorporates our negotiations with 25 separate government entities in the form of our tribal co-managers. Okay, so the annual cycle begins every year in the early winter with data compilation and pre-season forecast development. Okay, then we move into the pre-season planning of fisheries through North of Falcon. That's really this seven weeks that we're talking about there, March and April. And then we move into implementation and monitoring of the actual fisheries, data collection from fisheries and annual stock assessment activities, and that feeds the cycle again. So right after we get done compiling everything for the previous year, we got to move right back into forecasting for the next year, and it starts all over again. Fisheries developed must be consistent with the Pacific Salmon Treaty, with the Magnuson-Stevens Act, With court decisions, U.S. v. Washington, U.S. v. Oregon, like I referenced earlier, the Endangered Species Act, Fish and Wildlife Commission policies, North of Falcon policy, Grace Harbor, Willapa Bay, Columbia River policy, hatchery and fishery reform policies are just some examples, and also conform with applicable state laws. So, very complicated process here. So, this is a list of meetings this year, our public meeting schedule. So, we kicked off this year with releasing our forecasts at the end of February there. Our first Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting was March 7th through the 12th. This meeting is where the three ocean options under consideration for that year are developed at this first Pacific Fishery Council meeting. So then we have some fisheries discussion, Columbia River. Our first official public North of Falcon meeting happened on March 19th. The 21st, a Puget Sound recreational discussion. March 25th was the hearing. So once these three ocean options are developed, then there was a public hearing at the end of the month, March 25th, happened out there at Westport, where they take public comment on those three options under consideration for the year. Okay, and then as we move towards the end of March, we have a bunch of fisheries discussions here in specific regional areas, Snake River, Columbia River, and an ocean fisheries discussion happened at the beginning of April. Had a North of Falcon, our second North of Falcon kind of big public meeting, April 3rd up in Linwood. And then it wraps up with the final Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting, April 11th through the 15th. That took place in California this year. It's just a rotation. It rotates through all the states. As I said, all the states are involved, so every year a different state is hosting that meeting. Just happened to be in California this year. And this is where the final ocean options are decided. Okay? So, a meeting schedule of all our state and tribal meetings with our co-managers. So on February 26th, we have a technical model meeting, a co-manager technical model meeting at the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission office in Lacey. On February 28th, there was a co-manager policy meeting at the Muckleshoot Casino. From March 7th through the 12th, down at PFMC, we meet with our tribal co-managers down there around recommendations for the ocean development, the option ocean development. And then March 20th, we met with tribes again down at the Lacey Community Center as part of our kind of North of Falcon 1 meetings. Met again the next day. This meeting was more specific to South Puget Sound chum management, so they needed to get back together and talk about that some more this year. Then sandwiched around our public meeting up in Linwood that happened on April 3rd, we had meetings with our co-managers the day before and the day after. Down at Pacific Fishery Management Council, met with our co-managers down there to work through some of the issues and outcomes from the decision for the ocean option. Public comment is taken throughout the process via the web portal and email interface. This is just a screenshot of the actual website. You would, for coastal freshwater, they would be down right below here, and there's links right here where you can submit your comments. So, some of the challenges, these are challenges really that basically we have every year. Balancing harvest opportunity within our conservation and ESA limits, those are always things that we struggle with. That's the point of North of Falcon. And then once we've got to that, then allocation of the harvest and impacts between fishery sectors is always problematic, right? Got to learn how to share. One thing that was new for this year was the potential effects of fisheries on southern resident killer whales. We had the governor's task force that provided some recommendations as well. We were tasked with NOAA was evaluating these potential effects, and for us out here on the coast, the main thing that we're really looking at is prey availability, right? Some of those pods are in the late summer months, early fall, or off the coast, feeding on some of our Columbia River, Willapa Bay, and Grace Harbor stocks. So we needed to consider this as we were moving through for our fishery planning for this year. So, I'm going to go through some of the objectives this year that were things we had to deal with in setting our seasons for 2019. Ocean areas 1 through 4, we need to manage for federal ESA Pacific Salmon Treaty constraints. So, objectives for the 2019 stocks of concern were: Lower Columbia naturals needed to be under a maximum exploitation rate of 38%. Now, exploitation rate, what does that mean? Maximum exploitation rate. That means in all fisheries from Alaska all the way into the most terminal areas, we had to account for all of those impacts, and they could not total on the natural stock more than 38%. So all fisheries had to be considered, all the way Alaska, all the way through. Mid-Hood Canal, Chinook, a maximum ER of 12%. You'll see this is a little bit different. So each one of these exploitations can be a little bit different depending on the stock. Well, this one I said is a total ER. All fisheries have to be considered. This PTSUS means pre-terminal southern U.S. So for this ER, all we consider to meet this ER is the impacts once they cross the Canada line. So Washington waters and only pre-terminal. So basically, exploitation that's occurring in the ocean and then Puget Sound as those are moving through the system. Still a Guamish Chinook, an 8% SUS exploitation rate. That's a little different than the pre-terminal. So here, this SUS, that means all fisheries just once they cross the Canada line, right? Alaska and Canada are not subject to that 8% ER limit. Lower Columbia natural cohos had a maximum exploitation rate of 23. Once again, that'd be Alaska to Canada. Oregon coastal natural coho, maximum ER of 15%. We needed to meet coastal natural coho escapement goals for Grays Harbor, Queets, Ho, and Quillew. And interior Fraser coho, the maximum exploitation rate, southern U.S. for that was 10%. As well as these stocks of concern and these management objectives that were handed down, we also have a couple of stocks that were have been classified as overfished. And so we needed to account for some of those criteria and those overfished plans, specifically Queets natural coho, Strait of Juan de Fuca natural coho, and Snohomish natural coho. For Willapa Bay, we had guidance given to us by the Commission for Planning for the 2019 season. This guidance was given to us as part of a commission hearing and decision meeting on April 6th of 2019. The guidance we received was to actively manage natural origin Chinook for Willapa River to a 20% total terminal impact, 20% also on natural origin Chinook in the Nacelle River, a 10% total impacts in the terminal area on Chum. Notice that that is not just natural origin, it's just Chum stock overall. Suspended the fishery management guiding principle number 6 for fall Chinook in the salmon species specific guidance in the Willapa Bay policy. This was about some dates and when and where and when commercial fishing can take place. So that was suspended for this year. And then the last thing is they allowed the department staff the flexibility to determine the bag limits for Chinook and coho in the recreational fishery that is appropriate within the 20% harvest rate. So for Grays Harbor, we also got some constraints there as we started to develop the season. Chehalis River natural origin fall Chinook have not made their escapement goal for 3 out of the last 5 years. Thereby, we have a policy that kicks into a place that we can't have more than a 5% terminal impact on the natural origin stock there. Hump Tulips River, they have met their natural origin escapement goal 3 out of the last 5 years. So our objective there was just to meet the spawner escapement goal. For natural origin coho, Chehalis River, they once again have met the escapement goal 3 out of 5 years. So our objective for the year is just to meet this spawner escapement goal, natural origin spawner escapement goal. And for the Hump Tulips River, they have not met natural origin coho have not met the escapement goal 3 out of 5 years. So once again, we have this 5% impact rate cap when we haven't made escapement 3 out of 5 years. For Grace Arbor Chum, Grace Arbor Chum are not managed Chehalis hum tulips. It's just one aggregate stock, Grace Arbor Chum. They have met their natural origin escapement 3 out of the last 5 years. So our management objective for the year was to attain the spawner escapement goal of 21,000 fish. And the policy also kicks in a little bit of restrictive language around chum. No chum retention unless coho exceeds its natural origin spawner objective. So we can't have chum retention unless we're meeting our objectives for coho. Okay, that's Grace Arbor policy. So, what did we end up with after we worked through all those constraints? So, for the ocean areas 1 through 4, they're open June 22nd through September 3rd, 2 salmon daily bag limit, only 1 Chinook in areas 1 and 2, release coho, release wild coho, all areas were open 7 days a week. Specific for the area 3 fishery, that's got extended about 2 weeks past the other areas, 1, 2, and 4. And the coast-wide recreational quotas of Chinook were 26,250 Chinook and 159,600 marked coho. So that's the aggregate across all areas. And then they break those up into quotas for the smaller areas, and that was done using the fishery management plan framework plan. So for Willapa Bay, open June 22nd through July 31st, and it is open concurrent with Marine Area 2, and Marine Area 2 rules apply, whatever Marine Area 2 rules are, through the end of July. Those will be the same rules in Willapa Bay, Catch Area 2-1. We go to Willapa Bay specific rules on August 1st. Those will run through January 31st. It's a 2-adult bag limit, release wild Chinook. The Willapa Bay control zone will be open this year. The North River area closures is in effect. So trying to protect and add some additional conservation to those North River Chinook stocks, right in that bubble out in front of the North River there. Anglers may fish with 2 poles if they have the 2 pole endorsement. And I would be, Lyle would be mad at me if I didn't say that. Really, this should say anglers may fish with 2 rods and a 2-rod endorsement. So we'll throw that one up for Lyle, even though he's not here.
I do that often.
Yeah, I'm real guilty of this, and he gets me every time. So for the Grace Harbor Marine Area 2.2, the North Bay Hump Tulips Fishery will be open August 1st through September 15th. It's a 1-adult bag. Release wild Chinook, release wild coho, and the East Bay, Johns River, basically Johns River East, will be open September 16th through November 30th with a 2-adult bag, release all Chinook. Okay, so talked a little bit a few slides ago. I know this is a lot of information about what the management objectives were. Then we talked about what the season structures are, and now I'm going to go back and show you how we met those management objectives or what the final outcomes were. So remember a few slides ago that our objective was to stay under 38% ER for the Thule stocks. Modeling exercises of our total fishing package, including Alaska, everything else, everybody's fisheries, all put into this big model, estimates that we'll have a 36% harvest rate on natural origin Thule stocks. The objective here for Midhood Canal natural origin Chinook was 12% pre-terminal SUS exploitation. We end up at 11.8, and for the Stillaguamish, it was 8%, and we landed right on 8. For coho, the Lower Columbia natural exploitation was, the objective was, sorry, you got to bear with me. These are a lot of numbers to memorize in my head here. Okay, Lower Columbia natural coho was 23%. The objective was 23%. Came in under that at 18. The Oregon Coastal Naturals was 15. modeling would estimate we'd end up at 13.7. All those Washington Coast stocks that needed to meet their minimum escapement levels, all the modeling shows that they would meet those. Interior Fraser, we had a 10% exploitation rate cap SUS. Modeling would show us at 9.1. And then I talked briefly about the overfishing plans for Queets, Strait of Juan de Fuca, and Snohomish. So Queets would end up with a natural escapement of 9,100, so higher than the objective. Strait of Juan de Fuca, I don't remember off the top of my head what the objective was in terms of exploitation, but I believe it was like 5%, 6%, something like that. We ended at 4.2 and lower than the objective for Snohomish natural coho as well. And that's just an ocean exploitation rate cap. For Willapa Bay, we had 20% impact rate caps for the terminal fishery for both Willapa River and Nacelle River natural origin Chinook stocks. We ended up at 15.4 and 19.1, so below that 20%. For coho, management objective was to meet the natural origin spawner escapement goal of 13,600. Modeling of our fishery package would estimate just under 41,000 natural origin coho on the spawning grounds this year. And chum, we had a 10% impact rate cap, and the modeling in our terminal area management model would estimate a 9.1. 9.9 impact rate to that stock. For Grays Harbor, Chehalis River natural origin coho, we weren't meeting escapement goals. We were limited to 5% in the terminal areas. Estimate from pre-season modeling would be 4.5%. Hump Tulips River expected escapement 3,400. Okay, natural origin coho, and this was one we had been meeting. We had been meeting our escapement objective consistently, so was just to meet escapement was our objective. Chehalis River coho also had been meeting its escapement objective regularly, so our management objective was just to meet spawner escapements. This number is higher than that. For Hump Tulips River, we had a 5% harvest rate cap because we haven't, or impact rate cap, because we haven't met that goal consistently 3 out of 5 years. So we were limited to a 5% impact, and our fishery modeling would show us at 4.4. And chum, we're expected to exceed our spawner escapement with putting 33,367 fish on the spawning grounds. So just kind of wrap everything up. I'm going to take this back to the Administrative Procedures Act. Talk about the 101s, the 102s for these filings, everything went into the rulemaking for this year. We are right here in the public hearing section of this flowchart. So we've already filed the 101, gone through the 102. We've gone through the minimum 35 days here for written comments, holding the public hearing today. Now, there's two things that can happen. Once we have gone through and evaluated, looked at all the comments, and we decide, okay, well, there's no reason to make a change based on what we've heard. Our next steps would be to file a 103 and a concise explanatory statement. Once that is filed, it would get published to the Washington State Register in 14 days. And then after 31 days after it's published, it would become effective in Washington Administrative Code. That's one pathway. The other pathway is what if we get here and we hear something that causes us to rethink everything that we've thought up until this point. We need to make a substantial change to what we're proposing in terms of our regulations. Okay? If we need to do that, we have to do what's called a 102P, a supplemental, and we kick this process back to this. Essentially, we file a new 102 that says, don't worry about those regulations that we were proposing. We scrapped those. This is the new proposal, okay? And then it kicks in this comment and public hearing period all over again, okay? We end up right back to square two, I'll call it, and have to move through the process before we can finalize our rules and regulations. So now we have some time for public comment. Your time will be limited to 3 minutes. I'll go through those in the order you were signed in. And Marlisa, you are first. Now I can take a breath.
Good morning. My name is Marlisa Williams-Dugan. I am a recreational fishing advocate. I would like to start and say thank you to Chad and Commissioner Larry Carpenter and Region 6 for opening the closed zone out on the western bank of 2T in 2019. I think this does and will provide some meaningful recreational opportunity for the marine fishers in the bay. And I think it's important to say thank you when there's often so many negative comments and changes that we're after. The second thing I would like to talk about today is I would like to see no nets prior to September 8th in the marine area 2N and 2M. I believe that there will be less fish in the bay this year out in the north end of the bay. And those marine fishers out there last year had 7.5 days for one fish. I think it's going to be similar opportunities. And if we let the nets go in the South Bay, those fish mill around, there's going to be, again, a very reduced opportunity for those marine wreck fishers out there. I also believe that that there may be a shift in some of the marine wreck fishing from the North Bay down into the South Bay, and this would allow them some additional opportunity there. I do support the two fish bag limit in Willapa Bay Marine Area this year for 2019. And the last two things, last year I heard some complaints out in the marine area about some pretty aggressive enforcement harassment out there with the marine boats. Some boats were being checked 2 to 3 times a single day. That seemed a little bit aggressive. I think perhaps the department could address that. And then I would also like to see some in-season management, possibly with some changes in bag limits around the area if the season allows, either up or down. I think we should watch it very closely. And I would like to see them kick this 102 filing work back for change and remove the commercial nets prior to November 8th. Thank you for an opportunity to talk today.
Thank you. So, Gunther, you put on here that you didn't want to testify. Any change of mind? Okay, and Bill, you're a good, strong maybe?
Uh-huh.
Are you feeling lucky? You want it.
Sure, I'll comment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
My name is Bill Forstrom. I'm a recreational fisherman. I disagree with allowing the nets to go in as early as they are proposed for this year, and think that should be reconsidered.
Thank you. Okay, one last call for anybody to provide testimony. Okay, hearing none.
Wow, a long time till 11.
Yes, it is.
We can't just make testimony that you can just log in at 11?
No, stop it.
You can't do that, unfortunately.